Citizens of Chicago, grab your Bon Jovi album and some Mohawk hairspray, because it's time to go into the Upside Down. What's going on, demo dudes and demo dudettes? Welcome back into the Upside Down, the podcast that talks everything Stranger Things. I'm Damien, and with me, as always, is the guy that ever since he shaved his head has been nicknamed Funshine, the Great Scott.
Ahoy! Now, don't steal my Funshine now, Biff. Don't con me.
Come on, Len. You one-hit wonder. I love that song. If you steal my Funshine.
Dude, we have on suits, shirts, and ties, gym shorts. You have a brand new haircut. I'm bald. We're ready to go. Let's have this debate.
Yeah, guys, we've been thinking of ideas to make the podcast fresh, make it a little bit more fun. And we thought we would talk about the most polarizing episode of Stranger Things. I think it's more universally disliked than liked, but we both have reasons and arguments for, in Scott's case, why it is a good episode, and in my case, why is it a bad episode. But before we get into that, guys, we just wanted to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts for 10,000 listens.
Woo!
That's crazy. You know, for a lot of people, it's probably not a big deal, but for us, it is. Because we just didn't think we would, you know, we thought we would probably do like a couple episodes and just be like, all right, we'll revisit this in 3 years, like when the new season comes out, 2 years, whatever. But you know, we're sustaining it. We have a really fun community of listeners and we get some really great feedback. We got great reviews, which, by the way, if you're listening to this on Apple or Spotify, please leave us a 5-star review. That really helps us get the name of the podcast, get out there to more people, more listens, and we build a community of Stranger Things fans.
Thank you to all of our listeners. We have 8 episodes out there and we have 10,000 listens. So, you know, you can do the math. We're averaging, you know, a little over 1,000 per episode. So that's awesome for our first 8 episodes as a podcast. And you guys really keep us motivated and we can't wait to bring you more Stranger Things content. And we actually did have a couple of our listeners chime in after our most recent episode where we picked our top 3 episodes of Stranger Things. I just wanted to give them a little shout out. First, our friend Ashley from the Ham Radio podcast, she chimed in with her top 3 episodes. She actually picked, in no particular order, The Gate, The Sauna Test, and The Massacre at Hawkins Lab. So awesome to hear from Ashley, as always. And then we also had someone reply on Spotify under the name Link123Z74, and they chose The Battle of Starcourt, The Piggyback, and The Spy. So we had a couple of our listeners give their top episodes to us. So always great to hear from them.
Thank you so much for sending in your responses. You know, you can comment on these on Spotify, which is really, really cool. And also, in addition to that, hit us up on our socials, Into the Upside Down Pod on Instagram and TikTok, Into_Upside Down on Twitter, or IntoTheUpsideDownPod@gmail.com. Drop us a line. Let us know what you want us to talk about. Let us know if you want to be on the show. We have no problem having anybody on the show to talk something that we love, which is Stranger Things. So getting into some quick news, guys, because it's been a little bit and they're trickling out some stuff here and there. They did drop a blooper reel over the weekend, which I thought was funny just to see Vecna like break character and laugh and like chuckle. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like
the best part by far.
First episode, like I was petrified of him. And then I see him laugh and I'm like, OK, like he's not so bad. He's a nice guy.
He's a great guy. He just happened to get pushed into the upside down, you know, and had his hair slowly rot away. So it's a shame. he's still a good guy at heart.
And then I think the biggest piece of news is that a very blurry, impossible to read picture of a whiteboard detailing everything that's going to happen in season 5 was sent out by the writers of the show. And I think people have been trying to crack the code, trying to figure out some kind of way to bring clarity to that photo so we can see what's going to happen. Because it's crazy. They literally just gave us all the spoilers for what's going to happen, but there's no way that we could read it, which is just like the biggest troll job ever. And I think it's so funny that they did that.
Did you notice that on that outline, they had eight boxes across from left to right? So seemingly meaning eight episodes, mm-hmm. although apparently season four started off as eight episodes and they had so much content, they expanded to nine, but seems like they're aiming for eight episodes for season five.
Going to be wild. I mean, I'm totally fine with that. That like, it's going to be, it's the last one. So go all out. Don't just give us 48 minute episodes. Like give us what we had for season four, because I really enjoy just those almost feature length movie length episodes. So really cool stuff. And then if anybody's in, so we're in Pennsylvania. If you're in the tri-state area, and I'm sure this is probably happening all over the place as we get into spooky season, it's officially fall. The weather is cooler. The leaves are starting to change colors in fall. In Philadelphia, the Uptown Beer Garden actually transformed itself for the whole entire Halloween season into the Upside Down, or just Stranger Things themed. They had the Surfer Boy pizza van, as our buddy Ryan pointed out, a huge like statue of Vecna. They had Max floating in the air. They have some themed cocktails and things like that. And then, of course, like the famous Christmas lights on the wall in the buyer's household, which is really, really neat. And yeah, I think we're going to have to make a stop by there pretty soon.
I'm ready. I think next weekend we're going to have to stop by, take some pictures, some videos, post it on our socials.
Yep.
Get everybody excited for Stranger Things Day.
Yeah, we'll definitely share everything that we see on our Twitter and our Instagram and TikTok as well. As I think it's really, really cool that, you know, they have that. And I'm sure there's stuff like that going to be happening all over the country. Because I can't even imagine how many Eddie Munsons are going to be out there and Chrissies are going to be out there for Halloween this year. And I'm super hyped for that. I think it's awesome. So yeah, that's pretty much it for notes, like news and tidbits, everything going on right now. So without further ado, let's get into the great debate.
I just want to let everyone know that currently Damien and I are both wearing full suits with shirt and tie. He has a new haircut. I maybe buzzed my hair off a little bit, but we're looking very professional. We're ready to go here, taking this seriously.
I will admit that I'm wearing shorts. I'm wearing basketball shorts, and I just have a shirt, a tie, and a jacket on.
I am doing the exact same thing.
Well, there goes all of our credibility right out the window. Oh, man.
Crap.
Should have just hired Slippin' Jimmy.
Yeah, I need Kim Wexler to come in if she gets her law license back since Jimmy's in the penitentiary. Come on.
Spoiler. Well, it's been out for like a month now. I mean, it's okay. So the format for the great debate is going to be as such. We're each going to give a point and give a rebuttal to that point, go back and forth, and then closing arguments. But we don't have a mediator here. We don't have somebody that's going to sit on the fence, listen to both sides of the story, and make a very unbiased decision. So that's where we're leaving it up to you guys, the listeners, on Twitter and our Instagram. So we want you guys to sound off and let us know who you thought won the great debate on The Lost Sister, Season 2, Episode 7. Is it good or is it bad? My first point and first argument as to why The Lost Sister is a bad episode. I'm going to give you five names: Callie, Mick, Dottie, Axel, and Funshine. Callie did not need those other four with her. They didn't add anything to the story, and they were just in there to be stereotypical 80s punks that didn't really serve, in my opinion, a purpose.
I would say, you know, just to touch on our group here, I love Callie, number one, because she has amazing powers. I think Callie really just needed like a group to rally around because she escaped the lab. And then she apparently lived with a family for a short time, she described to Eleven. But when she left that, she had nowhere to go. She had to really rally around some punks that were living in the 80s at that time. And that's where the only spot that she was really wanted. No one else really could relate to her except for these, you know, punk kids or punk middle-aged people. And I just want to say, I mean, the guy's name, it's not Sunshine, it's Funshine for a reason. All right, we're talking about fun here. Who would not want to hang out with a guy who has the word fun in his name? Okay, so I'm with Funshine all the way.
She couldn't do better than Funshine.
I think she stole his Funshine. All right, so I just want to make my first point here, opening point, about why the Lost Sister episode is a great rewatch. The first point being that we all wondered during season one if other children existed. Were there other children that were in the lab? And we found that out in season two, but it was definitely confirmed in this episode that Kali was in the lab and that her and Eleven knew each other. And that when she was strong enough, she was able to escape the lab. So it was really an eye-opening experience to find out that they both existed in the lab at the same time and they knew each other kind of in a previous life. So that's my first point.
All right. Now, while I can understand your point of view there, I think the execution was off. I thought, and I will bring this up a little bit more in depth with one of my other points. I just thought that the execution was way off. The placement was way off. And that's all I got to say about that. Forrest Gump style.
And life is like a box of chocolates. You never know which punk gang member is going to talk next.
Life is like a box of Eggos. You never know which one's going to be freezer burnt.
Man, we're going to be great lawyers one day. Come on.
Seriously. Can't wait to quit my day job. All right. So my second point here as to why I think that this is not a good episode is tonally, it threw everything off from season two. It took us out of Hawkins, which, as we learned from season four, how to do it properly. Also, we just got fresh off of the Dustin and Steve bromance and then get swept away to Chicago, away from them, away from Will, who's going through everything with the Mind Flayer, to this completely dark and gritty episode. And at that time, for Stranger Things, yeah, there were some scary moments, but there really wasn't anything dark and gritty, especially something as dark as Eleven about to kill a man with his children in the house, which to me, I was completely shocked at the first time I watched that. I was really surprised they went in that direction. And to me, it almost felt like a standalone kind of backdoor pilot to try and see if there was any interest or further interest in Kali to maybe do some sort of spinoff. So for me, just the tone of this episode is why I do not like it. And I do not think it is a good episode, or it possibly is the worst episode of Stranger Things.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, this was a very dark episode. And I'm glad you brought up Eleven being in the house. I know you said it was extremely dark because she basically almost killed a guy with his kids being in the room. Like, who would want to watch that? I mean, that's kind of sick. It's kind of dark. But I would actually argue that this was a turning point for Eleven. She had actually already killed some people in season one. She's now in season two with this rogue, you know, punk group. But she has the chance to kill a man that tortured her mother. Like, those memories are coming back. Ray turned her mother brain dead. And Eleven has the chance to kill this guy right in front of everyone. And she decides not to. She sees that he has two little kids in the house. And she realizes that she doesn't want these kids to turn out the same way that she did. She shows him mercy. She has remorse. And she ends up not killing the guy. She spares him so he can be a father to those young girls. And those girls will have parents, unlike how Eleven grew up without a mother or a father. So I think this was actually a great turning point for her. It was dark, but I think it was great for Eleven's character development.
You might want to play that Sarah McLachlan song in the background during that answer, because that was absolute mush. There was a very fine point. I agree. Although we do see Eleven, which we didn't know at that time, go on to kill other people in season four, namely the military. So there is that as well. Scott, go ahead.
Moving on, I would say another great reason to watch the Lost Sister episode was Kali's superpowers. I think they were amazing. This episode alone, she made the illuminated butterflies when she's sitting on the roof with Eleven. She made all of the gang invisible to the police. I mean, how cool is that? The police are literally closing in on them and they stop in their place and are able to avoid the police. And then the coolest of all, she made like this huge barrier wall rise up and separate the gang from the police to save them. It kind of reminded me of Inception. So I really thought it was cool. We've seen Eleven's powers, but that really showed off how there's another character in Stranger Things that has powers. Kali really got to shine, and I think it was worth watching.
But everything she makes appear, it's a fugazi, it's a fugazi, it's a wazi, it's a woozy, it's a fairy dust. Doesn't exist.
Exactly. Yeah, sort of like Vecna, right? Sounds familiar. Everyone thinks Vecna's cool, but all of a sudden when Kali does it, what are they, sexist? They don't like when a woman does it? Come on.
Now, I did not say that. Let that be stated on the record that was not spoken of here. We are four male and female superpowered humans here on the podcast. It's a valid point. Kali did have some pretty cool powers, but it was just kind of like a magic show to me. It wasn't something that I think she could use to get out of her way from Vecna or One. I don't know if that would have worked on such a strong mind as his. So while it is a cool power, definitely nowhere near as cool as Eleven's. And my third and final point now as to why this episode to me is just not watchable, it's never been spoken of again. This episode came and went. It got bashed by viewers. It got bashed by critics for the tone, for everything about it and how it just took us out of Hawkins, felt disjointed from the rest of season two. And I think the showrunners recognize that because we haven't heard a single thing about Kali again. And I don't even know if she's going to come back in season five. You know, obviously Elle could use some backup, but I feel like that's going to be some dangerous water to walk on. They're going to be walking on eggshells if they decide to bring her back because of the backlash from this episode. And that's why it's never spoken of. It's never talked about in interviews. We never hear about it again because, simply put, it's a bad episode.
Well, that's a great point.
Roll the credits. Show's over. I won. Roll the credits.
Kali and the gang were not seen again, but they were mentioned again this season. In the flashback to the lab, we had Henry Creel talking with Eleven, and he basically had said to Eleven, do you remember when a woman visited you? It would have been when Eight was still here. So they have referenced Kali. You're right. She hasn't been a big talking point in the last two seasons. I always feel like as the energy's ramping up, I'm like, when is she going to appear? Is she going to show up season three, the end of season four? We haven't seen her. But could this all be leading to a big return of Kali in season five? I think she shows up and Funshine shows up and they take down Vecna. They combine. Eleven kind of just hangs out on the side. They let Funshine take care of business.
So you're signing off on Funshine and Kali coming back?
Yes, and maybe Axel.
Well, if that's the case, you're signing off on that. You better cross your T's and dotty your I's.
Sorry, I forgot about Dottie. Yeah, we may not see her. I think a demo dog got her in the previous season. So, Damien, for my final statement here about why The Lost Sisters a great episode, I thought was the coolest of all and maybe a top moment of season two that goes unspoken about is that Ray, the former lab worker, revealed that Dr. Brenner was alive. He in fact said, Brenner is alive, I can take you to him. And when Brenner appeared to Eleven, he had a chilling speech. Brenner spoke to her and said things like, you have a wound, Eleven, a terrible wound. It will continue to grow, it will spread, and it will eventually kill you. And that quote has always resonated with me through the rest of Stranger Things. And I always wonder, will that be how this all eventually ends? Will it be Eleven dying? But I think the Brenner reveal was awesome.
So the Brenner reveal, though, that was done through Kali.
Well, the reveal was from Ray. He said, but Brenner's
the vision
alive.
Of Brenner.
Yes, the vision of Brenner was through Kali. Yes.
So couldn't that have been Kali manipulating Elle to not want to go back to Hawkins and to stay with her?
I guess like you could look at it either way. It could be she was motivated. I mean, the strange thing is, how did Kali know about all that stuff? Like she was making him appear, but what he was saying was in fact true. Like there's no way Kali would have known about those things unless she was just truly manipulating him. Yes, true.
I mean, that's a valid point as well. But I will say one thing about the Brenner reveal. While it was cool to hear that, you know, horror, death in any movie, TV show 101. If you don't see a body, they're still alive. There's 100% a chance. Like Eddie, we saw him physically, like we saw him die. He's not coming back. But Brenner, he just gets, you know, like tackled by a Demogorgon and that was it. So I think that really wasn't as impactful because in a way fans had in the back of their head that Brenner was still alive because we didn't see an actual body.
Very good point.
I watched the same like 9 shows, but I just, because like I get into reading about film and reading about TV, like, or I get invested in a character. I'm like, oh, they could come back. So you didn't see the body. And that's always been like just a trope with any kind of like, oh, you don't see the body, they're going to come back. But it was still, I'll admit, a cool reveal. And, you know, Kali, you know, making that vision in Brenner's speech was, you know, kind of in a way setting up the table for the events of season 4 and their reunion and just how everything shook down between the two of them. So I can understand that point. But with that being said, let's get into our closing arguments. So, in summarization, I believe that The Lost Sister, which is episode 7 of season 2 of Stranger Things, is bad because of its tone. The tone was completely off and just not on the finger or on the pulse of the rest of season 2. It took us away from everyone's favorite bromance until season 4 of Dustin and Steve. It was a very dark episode and didn't really fit in with the rest of season 2. It felt like some kind of attempt at a backdoor pilot for them to possibly do a spinoff, which now we know we are getting Stranger Things spinoffs. And that might have been on the drawing board at the time. But given the fan backlash, given just the overall perception and reception of this episode, I would like to say, in conclusion, that The Lost Sister is a bad episode of Stranger Things. Court adjourned. All right. Recess. My favorite subject.
Recess. My favorite subject. Okay. Mr. Check makes some good points, but ladies and gentlemen, demo dudes and demo dudettes of the jury, Mr. Check has made many arguments here today, but I will leave you with the one that truly matters. Kali taught Elle how to use her gifts to their fullest potential and how to boost her powers up to full strength in order to close the gate. And that's very important because she had to focus all of her anger and use it for good. That's what Kali taught her how to do. If not, the Upside Down would have continued to spread into Hawkins and Hawkins would have fallen way back in 1984. There wouldn't have been a 1984 snowball. No kiss between Elle and Mike, no Starcourt Mall, no Neverending Story, no Hellfire Club, and by God, no championship for the Hawkins High Tigers basketball team in 1986. Because if Elle never closed the gate, it would have been lights out, sayonara, the Upside Down would have taken over Hawkins, and how devastating would it have been when Elle's friends died, Hawkins fell, and life as we know it was over. But my friends, they were all saved because Elle closed the gate. And how? How do you ask? It all traces back to Kali coaching her and motivating her in the episode, The Lost Sister. So I highly recommend that you watch this episode. It's very crucial to Elle's development and it will be totally worth it. Thank you for listening to my TED Talk.
Well, I just got verbally dunked on right there. Like, God, that was an excellent closing argument. Holy crap.
Thank you.
I agree with the points. Very valid all the way around. Yeah. Well, I mean, at this point, it's up to the jury. It's up to the listeners to decide, is The Lost Sister a good episode or a bad episode? You know, I think my points echoed a lot of the fan sentiment of this episode, the perception of this episode. I think Scott's points kind of dug deeper into the mythos of the episode and the purpose of the episode. So I think we really had some good points. And, you know, honestly, man, like I don't hate on The Lost Sister, but your arguments were very valid. And when I listen to you talk and give your points and then your closing statement, like it makes a lot of sense. And maybe You know, whoever wins, wins. Like, we're just doing this for fun because we just want to keep putting out content. But I mean, dude, maybe your points might change some people's perception of the episode, like to the point where they say, I want to watch it again now that I have this kind of fresh perspective in my mind, and go from there.
Yeah, man, I agree 100%. I loved your arguments. Actually, I must say, honestly, now that I think did the gavel hit? I think now that the court case is over, I loved every point you made, and I was trying to stay strong and not reference it in a good way because I had to defend it. But yes, I totally agree with you 100%. I think The Lost Sister pretty much stinks in a lot of ways, and I probably do skip it almost every time when I do a rewatch. But there are some really cool parts about it, and I think that's why I try to rewatch it, because it is very important for Elle's character development and things like that. But yeah, there are a lot of cringeworthy moments as well, and it's not an easy rewatch because it is so much different than the rest of Stranger Things. I agree with you there.
Yeah, because the show is just getting into it at that point in that season. And then we're just taken away from it. And like, that's one thing like a lot of the Marvel shows do that just irks me. A lot of any TV, like you get this huge tease and then you don't see it or hear from it for like weeks. And luckily with Stranger Things, like we have the luxury of just being like, okay, well, I could just binge it in the same day, so it doesn't matter. But for like episodic TV shows that come out on a weekly basis, whatever, like that, it's just the most frustrating thing to me, where we get this, like all this crazy stuff happening, stuff I need to immediately see more of, and then we're just taken away from it. So it did do some good things though. I mean, like, you know, obviously season 4, we were completely taken out of Hawkins. We're global at that point. And maybe they learned some lessons on how to handle it, how not to handle it from The Lost Sister. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, either way, it is a little bit pivotal and important to overall the Stranger Things story, Elle's story. And, you know, maybe the writers, the showrunners learned something from it as well. And that's what shaped what they did in season 3, and especially with, you know, leaving Hawkins in season 4.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think if they would have broken up bits and pieces of the Lost Sister episode and sprinkled it in with the other episodes, it could have been really helpful and maybe kind of like smoothed it over with the fans, just kind of a little bit here, a little bit there. But it is really interesting. Like I do constantly wonder if Kali will be back, or did they just completely abandon it, which I think I'd be totally okay with too. I mean, either way, I think I'd enjoy it, but I don't blame them for abandoning it. And I think you made a great point. Like, if it didn't work, let's just drop it and move on. And that was your best point, I think, because it makes 100% sense. Like, why would you continue with something that isn't working? So yeah. Great job, man.
So that was the great debate, guys. This was fun. Like, just kind of think, I mean, I'm like, my perspective was definitely not as fun as yours was, Scott, because you had to like defend the episode, and it's such a like, people don't like it episode. So I think it was probably more fun from your perspective to come up with the like defending arguments for why it's a good episode. And yeah, I mean, now we leave it up to everybody out there. I mean, we're going to post once this episode goes live. We'll probably give it, I guess, like a day or two, maybe 2 or 3 days, because this really wasn't a long episode for us. Like, this is, I think, a pretty easy listen. We'll give it a couple days after we upload the episode, and then let you guys decide on Twitter and Instagram. And once again, guys, that Instagram is at Into the Upside Down Pod. Same thing on TikTok, and then on Twitter, Into_UpsideDown. Drop us a line on your thoughts of the great debate about The Lost Sister in general, Stranger Things stuff in general. Were you able to decode the whiteboard messaging? Definitely shoot us an email, intotheupsidedownpod@gmail.com, and let us know. And yeah, we'll see what happens there. If you're able to decode the whiteboard, crack the code.
If you have friends in the NSA, we're looking for you. Please reach out. We're trying to be able to unblur an image that has been highly blurred and compressed. We'd love to have your services.
definitely. Anything else, Scott? And what else we got going on here?
I mean, hey, we're hoping to do some more episodes coming up, leading up to Stranger Things Day. We really want to do a blowout episode for that. And we're hoping to maybe interview some more people that were a part of the show. Keep following us, keep listening and reaching out on social media, giving us likes and comments and reviews. We really appreciate it.
Yep. Absolutely. And, you know, just once again, to echo how we started the show, thank you guys so much for the support. 10,000 listens is a big deal for us. We don't even have 10 episodes. So for us to be there is really cool, just to see that many people have listened, just the support in general. And we're going to keep it going. We got some cool stuff here. We're definitely going to hit up the Upside Down Uptown Beer Garden in Philadelphia and take all kinds of videos, put together some TikToks and cool things just to kind of get everyone in the mood for Halloween, and whatever else we could do, we will do. But that's pretty much it for us today. This was a really fun episode. Definitely something neat, instead of just kind of talking about, you know, our initial reactions, like defending and, you know, disparaging a show or an episode is pretty cool. So that's all we got, guys. Once again, thank you for the support, the listens, the likes, the comments, everything. And we will catch you demo dudes and demo dudettes next time when we go into the Upside Down. And as always, remember, friends don't lie.
See you, nerds.